Okay, welcome to Storytime with David and Mommy. We are reading Kidnapped by Robert Louis Stevenson. Yeah, we tried the Illustrated Classics edition, and now we're going to try the original and see which one we like better.
I like that one
better. Well, you haven't read this one yet. So let's see. Let's give it a try.
But that would have any pictures.
No, but you can look at the pictures in this book, if you want, as we're following along. So, this begins, it begins a little differently. Look, it says, honey, please don't put that on there. It's a little loud. Are you okay?
Okay.
This begins, it says, Kidnapped, being memoirs of the adventures of David Balfour in the year 1751, how he was kidnapped and cast away, his sufferings in a desert isle, his journey in the wild Highlands, his acquaintance with Alan Breck Stewart and other notorious Highland Jacobites, with all that he suffered at the hands of his uncle, Ebenezer Balfour of Shaws, falsely so-called, written by himself and now set forth by Robert Louis Stevenson. Oh, and look, there's a map. That's cool. Sketch of the cruise and probable course of David Balfour's wanderings. Yeah, okay. Chapter 1. I set off upon my journey to the House of Shaws. I will begin the story of my adventures with a certain morning, early in the month of June, the year of grace 1751, when I took the key for the last time out of the door of my father's house. The sun began to shine upon the sun.
He locked the door.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they started the same way. The sun began to shine upon the summit of the hills as I went down the road. By the time I had come as far as the manse, the blackbirds were whistling in the garden lilacs, and the mist that hung around the valley in the time of the dawn was beginning to arise and die away. Mr. Campbell, the minister of Essendine, was waiting for me by the garden gate. Good man. He asked if I had breakfasted, and hearing that I lacked for nothing, he took my hand in both of his and clapped it kindly under his arm.
"Well, Davy lad," he said, "I will go with you as far as the ford and set you on the way."
We began to walk forward in silence.
"Are you sorry to leave Essendine?" he said after a while.
"Why, sir," said I, "if I knew where I was going or what was likely to become of me, I would tell you candidly." "Candidly. Essendine is a good place indeed, and I have been very happy there. But then I have never been anywhere else. My father and mother, since they are both dead, I shall be no nearer to an Essendine than in the kingdom of Hungary. And so to speak, the truth, if I thought I had a chance to better myself where I was going, I would go with a good will."
"Oy," said Mr. Campbell. "Very well, Davy. Then it behooves me to tell you your fortune, or so far as I may. When your mother was gone, and your father, the worthy Christian man, began to sicken for his end, he gave me in charge a certain letter, which he said was your inheritance. So soon, says he, as I am gone, and the house is redd up and the gear disposed of, all of which, Davy, has been done, give my boy this letter into his hand, and start him off to the House of Shaws, not far from Cremond. That is the place I came from," he said, "and it's where it befits me boy should return. He is a steady lad, your father said, and a canny goer, and I doubt not that he will come safe and be well liked where he goes."
"The House of Shaws?" I cried. "What had my poor father to do with the House of Shaws?"
"Nay," said Mr. Campbell, "who can tell that for a surety? But the name of that family, Davy boy, is the name you bear, Balfour of Shaws. An ancient, honest, reputable house, peradventure in the latter days decayed. Your father, too, was a man of learning as befitted his position. No man more plausibly conducted school, nor had he the manner of speech of a common dominie. But, as you will remember yourself, I took our pleasure to have him to mance me around the gentry, and those of my own house, Campbell of Killenrit, Campbell of Dunswire, Campbell of Minch, and others, all well-kinned gentlemen, had pleasure in his society. Lastly, to put all the elements of this affair before you, here is the testimony letter itself, subscribed by the own hand of our departed brother."
He gave me the letter, which was addressed in these words: "To the hands of Ebenezer Balfour, Esquire of Shaws, in the House of Shaws, these will be delivered by my son, David Balfour. My heart was beating hard as this great prospect now suddenly opening before a lad of 17 years of age, the son of a poor country dominie in the forest of Ettrick. "Mr. Campbell," I stammered, "if you were in my shoes, would you go? Would you?" "No?" "No, is that because you read a little further on and you know what kind of guy Ebenezer is?" "Yeah."
"Of a surety," said the minister, "that I would, and without pause. A pretty lad like you should get to Cremond, which is near and by Edinburgh, in 2 days of a walk. If the worst come to worst, and your high relations, as I cannot but suppose them to be somewhat of your blood, should put you to the door, you can but walk 2 days back again and rip at the mainstall. I would rather hope that she shall be well received as your poor father forecast for you, and for anything that I can come to be a great man in time." "And here, Davy Letty," he resumed, "it lies near upon me conscience to provide this parting and set you on the right guard against the dangers of the world." Here he cast about for a comfortable seat, lighted on a big boulder under a birch by the track side, sat down upon it with a very long, serious upper lip, and the sun now shining in upon us between two peaks, put his pocket handkerchief over his crooked hat to shelter him. There, then, with uplifted forefinger, he first put me on my guard against a considerable number of heresies, to which I had no temptation, and urged upon me to be instant in my prayers and reading of the Bible. That done, he drew a picture of a great house that I was bound to, and how I should conduct myself with its inhabitants. "Be supple, Davy, in things immaterial," he said. "Bear ye..."
Honey, please don't do that. Please don't do that when I'm reading, okay?
"Be supple, Davy, in things immaterial," said he. "Bear ye this in mind, that, though gentle-born, ye have had a country rearing. Dinna shame us, Davy, dinna shame us. In yon great muckle house with all these domestics, upper and under, show yourself as nice and circumspect, as quick at the conception and as slow a speech as any. As for the lad, remember he's the lad. I say no more. Honour to whom honour. It's a pleasure to obey the lad, or should be to the young."
"Well, sir," said I, "it may be, and I'll promise you I'll try to make it so."
"Why, very well said," replied Mr. Campbell heartily. "And now to come to the material, or, to make the quibble, the immaterial. I have here a little packet which contains 4 things.
He tugged it as he spoke, and with some great difficulty from the skirt pocket of his coat.
"Of these 4 things, the first is your legal due. The little pickle money for your father's books and plenishings, which I have bought, as I have explained from the first, in the design of reselling at a profit to the incoming dominie. The other 3 are gifties that Mrs. Campbell and myself would blithe of your acceptance. The first, which is round, will likely please you best at the first off go. But, Davy Laddie, it's but a drop of water in the sea. It'll help you but a step and vanish like the morning. The second, which is flat and square, was written upon, will stand by you through life like a good staff for the road, and a good pillow to your head in sickness. And as for the last, which is cubicle, you'll see that it's my prayerful wish into a better land."
And with that, he got onto his feet, took off his hat, and prayed a little while out loud, and in affecting terms for a young man setting out into the world. Then suddenly took me in his arms and embraced me very hard, then held me at arm's length, looking at me with his face all working with sorrow, then whipped about, and crying goodbye to me, set off backward by the way that we had come at a sort of jogging run. It might have been laughable to another, but I was in no mind to laugh. I watched him as long as he was in sight, and he never stopped hurrying, nor once looked back. Then it came upon my mind that this was all his sorrow at my departure, and his conscience smote me hard and fast, because I, for my part, was overjoyed to get away out of that quiet countryside, and to a great busy house among rich and respected gentlefolk of my own name and blood. Davy, Davy, I thought, was ever such a black ingratitude? Can you forget old favors and old friends at the mere whistle of a name? Fie, fie, think shame. And I sat down on the boulder the good man had just left, and opened the parcel to see the nature of my gifts. That which he had called cubicle, I never had much doubt of. Sure enough, it was a little Bible, to to carry in a plaid nook, which is also called a pocket in the plaid, which is something that he's wearing right now. That which he had called round, I found to be a shilling piece, and the third, which was to help me so wonderfully in both sickness and health all the days of my life, was a little piece of coarse yellow paper written upon thus in red ink. To make lily of the valley water, take the flowers of lily of the valley and distill them into a sack. Then drink a spoonful or two as there is occasion. It restores speech to those that have the dumb palsy. It is good against gout. It comforts the heart and strengthens the memory. And the flowers put into a glass, close stopped, and set into the an hill of ants, set into an hill of ants for a month. Then take it out, and you will find a liquor which comes from the flowers, which keep in a vial. It is good, ill or well, whether man or woman. And then, in the minister's own hand, was added, likewise for sprains, rub it in, and for colic, a great spoonful on the hour. To be sure, I laughed over this, but it was rather tremulous laughter, and I was glad to get my bundle on my staff's end and set out over the ford and up on the hill and upon the farther side till, just as I came upon the green drove road running wide through the heather, I took my last look of Kirk Essendine, the trees about the manse, and the big rowans in the kirkyard where my father and mother lay.
What?
That is the end of chapter one.
My father and your mother... Somewhere.
So, what happened in that chapter? Do you know?
The same thing that happened.
So, in that chapter, David Balfour is the main character.
Yes.
So, he's who we have been introduced to. And he is leaving the town that he's lived in all of his life. He's never gone anywhere before. And are his father and mother alive? Both of them are dead, so he's...
How did they die?
It doesn't say. It says that they were both sick. They both had a sickness, but it doesn't say what it was. So he's left, and then his friend, who was the gentleman he was talking to, had come to basically say farewell and wish him luck, and he gave him four presents. So he gave him a Bible, and he gave him a little money, and he gave him a recipe for making his own medicine, which is the lily of the valley water. And then he also gave him the letter from his father and told him about the house of the Shaws. And he also said, you know, hey, when you're there, it's going to be really fancy, and you have to act like a gentleman and make us proud. Don't be foolish. Just act respectable and like a gentleman. And David said, all right, that's what I'm going to do. And now he's off to find the House of Shaws, which is near Edinburgh. So chapter two is I Come to My Journey's End. And we will say bye-bye, podcast listeners, okay?
I like the small book.
You like the small book better? I like this one better because I like how it's written better. It's
whoever
gives you more of a picture of what's happening.
Whoever raises their hand for me is the winner.
Whoever is you and raises their hand is the winner?
So you,
well, what do you like about the small book?
So I get two votes and you get no votes.
What do you like about the small book? Do you like that it has pictures?
Yes.
Yeah? Well, we can look at the pictures while I'm reading the big book, honey.
No. I don't know which.
Well, we can follow along with it. It's not a big deal. All right. Bye-bye, podcast listeners. Join us again for chapter two of Kidnapped by Robert Louis Stevenson.
And chapter five of Kidnapped.
We'll see which version we go with. That's right.
I would go on the one that we started.
Well, we'll see, honey. All right. Bye!